Welcome to Your Space Journey, where we venture into the future of space exploration and the incredible leaders who are taking us there. Here's your host, Chuck Fields.
Hello, thanks for joining me today for Your Space Journey. Today I'm pleased to introduce a new book called Atlas of Solar Eclipses, an adventure guide for the next 25 years of solar eclipses. And for this, I'm pleased to welcome today both authors of the book, Michael Zeiler and Michael Bakich. Now, this amazing atlas covers every type of solar eclipse around the world, total, angular, and partial, with beautiful and informative maps to guide you to nature's most stupendous sight, a total eclipse of the sun. But before we get to the interview, I'd like to introduce a guest of someone you may know, Zoe Perry. Now, Zoe plays young Sheldon's mom, Mary Cooper, on the hit TV show. In this clip, Zoe talks about space, first from the perspective of Sheldon's mom, then as herself.
Well, you know, Mary would say, that's all well and good, but God designed it. And as me, I mean, I'm so fascinated to hear anything that's newsworthy, especially living so close to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I like to be on their newsletter, and when they send out, you know, new little factoids and tidbits, I find it so interesting. But for me personally, I love it because it also kind of takes me out of my own myopic world and reminds me just how vast everything is. Just kind of comforting in its own way.
Your Space Journey.
Thanks, Zoe, for sharing your space story. Folks, if you'd like to learn more about Zoe, check out our full interview with her. I have that at my other podcast at Online Coffee Break. Just go to onlinecoffeebreak.com to check that out, or search for Your Online Coffee Break on your favorite podcast application. Now on to solar eclipses. Just a few short years ago in August 2017, my wife and I were able to travel to Metropolis, Illinois, the home of Superman, where they actually have a 2-ton, 15-foot statue of the superhero. And of course, for the eclipse, they had him outfitted properly with solar glasses. And anyway, it was an amazing spectacle. We were so blessed to see this incredible event. And we're really excited about 2024, just a few years away, when the total solar eclipse will actually be passing over our house here in Indianapolis area, as well as a significant portion of the United States. But you can learn more by checking out the Atlas of Solar Eclipses. So with that, I'll turn to our interview with Michael Zeiler and Michael Bakich as we talk about their new book, Atlas of Solar Eclipses.
Your Space Journey.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Chuck.
Well, it's an honor. Well, I'd like to start off by just getting a little bit information from each of you about your respective backgrounds. Michael Zeiler, I understand that you come from sort of GIS, Geographic Information Systems. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that and how you developed from that into the field of astronomy and solar eclipses?
Well, they were two parallel tracks for all of my life. You know, I was the child of the Apollo era, and that inspired me to grind a 6-inch mirror in during my teenage years. So I've had a lifelong interest in astronomy, and I knew that a total solar eclipse was, you know, was like the 4th of July and Christmas and Thanksgiving all rolled together for an astronomy geek. So that was always on my radar, and my professional career, I ended up from education in physics to working in the geographic information systems field, and then in 2009, I decided to merge the two together and start developing eclipse maps.
Wow, and that's fantastic, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Father Michael, tell us more about this. I have to say, you got your degree in astronomy from The Ohio State University. I'm a Buckeye, so.
Ah, excellent.
Love that. Tell us, and then you, of course, worked for Astronomy Magazine. So tell us more about your background.
So my career in astronomy started when I was in third grade. My parents bought me a set of constellation flashcards. Nice. And my mom would hold one up and I'd say, "Ooh, that's Leo the lion," or "Ooh, that's Orion." And we did this, as kids do, over and over and over again, until finally she said, "You know, why don't you go out some night when it's clear and see if you can find one of these?" Now, that was a revelation. And the first night I went out, I don't remember, it was spring. I don't remember which constellation it was. It may have been Leo. But I actually found several of the constellations pictured on the card. And that night, I decided I was going to be an astronomer. Now, as you say, I went to the Ohio State University.
Right.
When I graduated, there were no jobs in astronomy, unless I wanted to be a janitor at an observatory. And I didn't want to do that. So I went into the planetarium field. And I actually worked in 7 planetariums, or planetaria, and then did some consulting work. Finally, the Astronomy Magazine position opened up, and I was there for almost 18 years and retired last year.
That's awesome. Well, gentlemen, again, I want to congratulate you on this awesome book that you just came out with, The Atlas of Solar Eclipses, 2020 to 2045. So plenty of time left in this. But before we dive into this book, can one of you give us just a general idea? There are some listeners out there that might not know just the distinct different types of solar eclipses. Can you give just a general overview of the different types?
So there are 3 main types of solar eclipses. The first is a partial eclipse, okay, which is the least important. That's one where the moon doesn't cover the entire surface of the sun. Another is an annular eclipse. And in fact, an annular eclipse and a total eclipse are both central eclipses. So the moon passes across the sun's disk. But with an annular eclipse, because the Earth-Moon distance changes and because our distance from the sun changes, sometimes the sun is closer, the moon is farther away, and the moon looks smaller than the sun. So it, although it's moving centrally across the sun's disk, there's a ring of sunlight still around the moon's disk. And that ring, the Latin word for it, is annulus. So that type of eclipse is called an annular eclipse. The total eclipse, then, is when the moon is at least the size of the sun's disk, or larger, so the sun is totally blotted out, and that makes a total eclipse.
Well, I tell you, I was fortunate among many Americans to witness the Great American Eclipse 3 short years ago. And as an amateur astronomer myself, I knew it was going to be spectacular. It was hard to put into words what it was going to be like. But what sort of frustrated me at the time is I had some friends, still have some friends, that were in areas that were, well, it's 96% covered. And they thought, hey, they're going to see a good show. And I was like, how do you explain just the differences between being on the edge of a total eclipse versus being immersed in it?
Right. 4 words. It's all about totality. I mean, the difference between, I like to say, the difference between a partial eclipse, even a 97, 98% partial eclipse, and a total eclipse is the difference between looking at a map of France. Okay, that's the partial eclipse. The total eclipse would be boating down the Seine in Paris with your lover. That's the difference.
That is a good analogy. My wife and I were just talking about that the other day too. And I guess, you know, she was pointing out that, you know, we've seen pictures of what a total eclipse looked like, but what you don't experience unless you're there in person are even the crickets getting louder.
Oh, right.
The shadow approaching you, and the temperature cooling down ever so bit, just a little bit more. And then, of course, when the total eclipse occurs, there's so much more going around than that beautiful spot in the sky where the moon's covering the sun. You can also see, you know, the brighter planets, some of the brighter stars. There's so much more to it than just that infamous picture that we get of the moon covering the sun. So it's really remarkable. And again, I think your book does a great job of that because it shows everywhere around the world where you can expect all the different types of eclipses for the next 25 years. What made you decide both of you just to create and collaborate and create this wonderful book?
Well, we knew that in the aftermath of the great American eclipse that you saw 3 years ago, we knew that, that there were millions of newly minted eclipse chasers. And the first thing, the first reaction of anyone to seeing a total solar eclipse is, when is the next one? And when will I have another opportunity to see one? So we really designed this atlas as a field guide for people who perhaps saw the eclipse, or maybe some who didn't see it but caught the buzz about the eclipse, so that this is a worldwide travel guide for seeing nature's grandest spectacle.
See, what's wonderful too, it's not just for astronomy buffs, is it? You don't even have to have, I don't think, a high level of technical experience. So who more or less can be the perfect audience for your book?
Anyone who is entranced by nature's wonders, if you can appreciate a beautiful waterfall or some beautiful sight or event in nature, then a total solar eclipse should be on the top of your bucket list.
That's wonderful. You also offer some tips for viewing the different types of eclipses. Can you give share some of those tips with our audience today?
If the sun is not completely covered, you must use an approved filter. Usually, for most people, that's a $2 pair of eclipse glasses. It has what's called solar mylar. So through these eclipse glasses, perfectly safe to look at the sun. Now, the only time when you can look directly at the sun is during totality. So for those couple minutes in 2017, for those nearly 4.5 minutes in 2024, people that look up, if you're looking during totality through eclipse glasses, you won't see anything. So you must remove them, but only for the time when the moon completely covers the sun. That's when it's safe. And Michael and I have each seen more than a dozen eclipses, and our eyes are still working fine.
See, but you mentioned that. You mentioned the next big eclipse coming up for Main America is 2024. And that's, again, going to cut through a major portion of the United States. I'm fortunate to be right in the center for that one, which is wonderful. But again, if you can't wait, there are other places that you can travel to. And I just want to ask this. When you both are planning to go to an eclipse, what are some of the factors that you get? And I guess I'm loading this question up because for 2017, I found that some people that were really into it, they would actually reserve a couple different hotel rooms along different routes to see, Okay, might be cloudy here. If it is, I'm going to go over there. So what's your sort of planning and strategy for viewing a total solar eclipse?
Well, Chuck, you alluded to it in your lead up, and the three main factors for site selection are weather. That is absolutely the overwhelming criteria. So when an eclipse chaser looks at the maps, then you need to do a little more research, and there's some resources that we list in the atlas. But you really want to go and maximize your odds of clear skies. And even if you go to a place with very good climate forecast, the Sirius eclipse chaser still wants to retain the maximum degree of mobility so that if necessary, for example, in 2024, we're likely going to Texas because it has the best weather odds in the U.S., but we'll utilize the wonderful interstate and highway system throughout Texas to quickly relocate ourselves if necessary.
That is so important because I still remember vividly. I should say for some of our audience out there, my wife and I found this wonderful site called Hip Camp. Hopefully it'll still be out in 2024. But we are able to reserve campsites. There was this farmer in Metropolis, Illinois, that had this beautiful farm. It was the home of Superman. Yeah, they even had a Superman statue 20 feet tall with solar glasses on his face. It was nice. Beautiful. But we were able to go to this farm, and we had this beautiful area with a pond nearby. And honestly, there were a few other people on the property, but during the total solar eclipse, you looked around and you could not see other people. I mean, it wasn't like the pictures where you see everyone all huddled together looking. It was actually peaceful. So again, hipcamp.com was great. I guess one thing I want to go back, you mentioned about, of course, the importance of solar glasses. And one thing that surprised me, we had that in 2017. I hope we don't have it again, but we had some manufacturers that were releasing glasses that weren't necessarily safe for viewing the sun on that. How can viewers make sure that they're actually protecting their eyes to the best of their ability, I guess?
Every safe pair of solar glasses carries what's called an ISO number, the International Safety Organization. And those glasses have been certified safe. They will not, they block, I think it's 1/200,000, they allow 1/200,000 of the sun's light through, and that's the safe level for viewing the sun.
That's wonderful.
But unfortunately, there were a few counterfeit eclipse glasses with false ISO numbers. So as an extra precaution, we would recommend that you go to a website. It's called eclipse.aas.org. That's the American Astronomical Society. And they do the vetting, and they let you know which manufacturers are on the up and up and which suppliers are reliable.
That's wonderful. I appreciate that. I'll put a link to that in the show notes for any of our audience that wants to go there and to click that link. One more question too, because I know obviously you have to keep the glasses on until the sun is totally eclipsed. I did have a question though about, so there's some phenomena, you know, Bailey's beads and the diamond ring. Mm-hmm. One of the things I struggled with is, first off, I'm an astrophotographer, and this was my first attempt to photograph an eclipse. And I did run across one site that actually said, don't attempt to take pictures, just take it in with your eyes.
That was probably mine.
Okay. Well, I took half of your advice, because what I did is I allowed myself half of totality to take pictures, and then I just stood back with my wife and just looked up with the naked eye and just took it all in. But what I wasn't sure of is, how do you see the Bailey's beads if you have the glasses on? Do you take them off right when you think you can see them, or how do you time that right?
Yes. Although, how do I say this? The hard and fast rule is to keep the glasses on until totality.
Right.
There's no way that I or most other eclipse chasers are going to miss Bailey's beads or the diamond rings. And so if you take them off just a few seconds before totality, again, I can see you just fine, and I've seen 14 total solar eclipses. So, yes, a few minutes cheating either way. I mean, we've all glanced at the sun, you know, at sunset to see the nice red colors, things like that. Not overly harmful.
Well, I actually missed it because I was so paranoid with my eyes. I want to make sure. And there was another app. I'm assuming it's still going to be out, called like Solar Eclipse Timer. And I love that because it actually gave a countdown to when it was going to occur. And then it would alert you mid-eclipse. And then 10 seconds leading to when the sun was going to be visible again, it would say, put glasses on.
You know, your note about astrophotography during the eclipse. Michael, can you talk a little bit about Xavier's Eclipse Maestro?
Awesome. Yeah, and that is that you can actually have it both ways. You can completely enjoy the sight of the eclipse and have your cameras running if you use this automated software that's produced by a friend from France, Xavier Jubier. And to find this software, just Google Solar Eclipse Maestro. And you'll get the skinny on it. You connect USB cables from a laptop computer to your cameras and pre-program it, and it's easy to use, and it works great.
That's wonderful. And Michael, I was going to say, I used your site, greatamericaneclipse.com, extensively during that. Can you tell just our audience a little bit more about that? I assume that's going to be going strong for
2020. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, greatamericaneclipse.com, it's our purpose is to give general information and also the world's best eclipse maps for all eclipses around the world, with special emphasis on American eclipses. So this atlas And this other product that we produced, and the world's first eclipse globe, is a natural outcome of our work for the website. So we want to be the authoritative site for all things about the eclipse, and we'll also share the best resources that you can find so that you can have your best experience at an eclipse.
That is wonderful. I just have to ask, what is the next eclipse that both of you are going to go see?
Ooh, that hurts, because we were scheduled to go to South America again this December. But of course, because of the current situation, that just isn't possible. But
I'm sorry.
I'm still hopeful for the following total solar eclipse in December 2021 from Antarctica.
Wow.
And so I have reservations on a ship to go to Antarctica to see the eclipse from there.
Wow. Have you been to Antarctica before? That sounds amazing.
No. And that's going to be a wonderful item to combine two bucket list items. I've always wanted to see the white continent. Yes. And to see an eclipse from there is just icing on the cake.
Now, I want to ask too, for either of you, you've written some amazing books. You've done some amazing collaborations. Do you have any new books that either of you are working on that are coming up soon?
Well, I'm going to be working on another book for the upcoming 2024 eclipse.
Nice.
A field guide to that eclipse with extremely detailed maps and viewing advice and so forth.
Wonderful.
And I'm sure Michael has written many books. I'm sure he's got projects in mind.
Yes, I have a proposal out right now for a children's book about astronomy and with a lot of activities in it. So hopefully that will be positively received and we'll see what happens.
That's what I was going to ask you. You know, there's obviously some parents out there listen to this, and you probably have some kids that are interested in astronomy. I know this is a big open-ended question, but what advice would you offer to parents out there to encourage their kids to pursue a career or just an interest in astronomy?
I would say the best initial option is to purchase binoculars.
Yeah.
Because binoculars will allow you to have detailed looks of the moon, detailed looks of some of the star clusters in the sky. Mm-hmm. Nebulae will appear small galaxies you're not going to see through binoculars, except maybe the one Andromeda galaxy,
yes.
You know, which is reasonably bright. But if interest in astronomy wanes, you can use the binoculars for a whole slew of other interests.
That's so good. I thought for sure you were going to say astronomy flashcards of the constellations. That's a good idea, because I could use some more expertise for identifying some of the constellations up there. So I love that too. I think it's great that your parents encourage you on that. Gentlemen, how can our audience find out more about your book and order it?
Well, simply go to the website greatamericaneclipse.com, and on the right column, you'll see a prominent link for the Eclipse Atlas, the Eclipse Globe, and a host of other products that are related to eclipses. So it will later be available, hopefully, on Astronomy Magazine's website and other websites as well. But right now, it was just recently published, and right now, greatamericaneclipse.com is the best place to get it.
Beautiful. I can't recommend that book enough. It's a beautiful piece of work and just so much valuable information in it. Gentlemen, I both want to congratulate you, and I want to thank you both for taking time out of your schedule to join us today. It's been an honor. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Chuck.
Thank you.
Your space journey.
Wow, what a fascinating discussion with Michael Zeiler and Michael Bakich today. I'm really enjoying their book, Atlas of Solar Eclipses, and want to thank them for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more or to order the book, just go to their website, greatamericaneclipse.com. I want to encourage you to share this episode today with a friend. We'd also appreciate it if you're watching YouTube, just to give us a thumbs up, or whatever podcast application you're listening on, give us a 5-star rating. We'd appreciate that. Either way, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. God bless.